This episode is brought to you by Benton Integrative Medicine, a concierge membership-based medical practice offering direct primary care, functional medicine, hormone and sexual health, and wellness and vitality programs.
At Benton Integrative Medicine, they look beyond symptoms to uncover root cause solutions, helping patients restore balance, energy, and well-being through a comprehensive and personalized approach.
Their team believes in medical freedom, informed choice, and patient autonomy, empowering you to take charge of your health with a trusted partner by your side. Learn more at bentonintegrative.com and discover how integrative care can help you thrive, body, mind, and soul. Well, hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think the Podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And the doctor is in the house again. We're kicking off the new year with Dr. Ben. Hey, Dr. Ben.
What's going on, y'all? Thanks for having me back.
We love having you. I think it's always great to bring another expert onto the pod. We love having those experts come in, weigh in. And what we love about Dr. Ben, guys, is he's not really beholden to anything. He is a doctor who is all about the actual science, the gold standard science, and root cause medicine. Mm-hmm. Three chairs for root cause medicine, right? Getting free of the medical whack-a-mole where you treat one thing only to have to treat another because your treatment for the one thing has caused issues elsewhere. But instead saying, why is your body malfunctioning? Why isn't it doing exactly what it's supposed to do? And Dr. Ben Schwartz is now our personal doctor, and we have given him permission to share freely about our own health because the three of us, we're signing off. We don't need a HIPAA coverage here, Dr. Ben. Feel free to use us as living examples, because what we want our audience to also do is to be able to connect with you and doctors like you, physicians like you, so that they can get the real help that they need. And especially women in your 40s and 50s going through that inevitable change in hormones, which we've talked about many times on the podcast. Because honestly, the three of us, we want to be uncommon. We want to breeze through this part of our lives and really own it and accept it and love it and do it well, rather than bitching and complaining about hot flashes and no sleep and and wanting to murder everyone, like the week I told you about Dr. Ben that I had, where I hated everyone in my house. And I was like, I can't live like this. I need Dr. Ben immediately. But before we dive into some of our own personal things, because we promise to carry our audience along for our own journeys, we want to really talk about the amazing announcements that have come out of Washington, D.C., this month as MAHA Moms Make America Healthy Again. We are super passionate about seeing legislative changes and about seeing the CDC actually follow a gold standard of science, and Health and Human Services follow a gold standard of science, and the FDA follow a gold standard of science, which we know they haven't been. And the evidence is clear that there has been corruption, dare we say. There has been a following the dollar rather than following the science, following the money, the power, the influence rather than following the science. And it looks like we are making headway back to actual science. Let's start with the food pyramid, shall we? I think it's not being called a food pyramid anymore. I think they're now going to call it a food plate, or what the plate should look like. Dr. Ben, what are your thoughts when you heard the news that RFK and his team were actually going to change this grain-heavy food pyramid to something that actually is going to make America healthy again?
I was super excited, for one. I thought it was a great moment. What I thought initially was like, how much was America actually listening to the food period to begin with, anyway? Right. But what this did if you look at the food pyramid, I thought it just prioritized whole foods better. And that's what mattered. Second to that, I thought it increased protein. And I thought that was a fantastic initiative. There was a lot to say about it, but overall, very excited. In the very least, just making people think differently about their health. That's what matters. Taking out some of the other foods that whether bad or good, we overconsume and then it becomes a bad thing. It's, you know, there's so much nuance to what got, you know, what came out and what changed. And there's plenty of people on social media, doctors, influencers alike, who have a lot of issues with it, and they're saying what's bad and what's good. But if you're taking it from me, I'm all about balance. I'm not 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I like to take the best from each kind of diet that you can have, put it together. I think this food pyramid did a great job of that. And again, on top of that, it prioritized protein, which was just widely neglected in our diets and undervalued. The grams per body weight that they wanted you to have, I thought that was super low, at least giving a higher amount of protein as a target to shoot for. That was great. And there's so much protein initiative in the world right now. They're putting protein in your Starbucks. They're putting protein in your, I mean, I don't even know, like, it's all over the place. Everything's like, and 15 grams of protein. That's great. I don't hate it. I mean, stay away from that stuff anyway. Get it from the Whole Foods. But we're moving in that direction. I just like to feel the shift. The shift is what was most important to me. Yes. You know, there was a lot of talk about the saturated fat content that they allowed for in that. And, you know, let me just say, this is just guidelines, all right? It's just right. Guidelines. It's not telling every single person how to eat specifically. You have to eat for your bio-individuality anyway, right? Let's say you have allergies, sensitivities, intolerances, like, you need to respect that. You need to know what works for you. You need to know what flavors you like. But it's just guidelines. So there doesn't need to be uproar. We should be celebrating that we're resorting back to Whole Foods.
That's right.
But with the saturated fat, I mean, I thought initially that 10% was super achievable with that. Everyone was up in arms about the tallow and the whole dairy and butters and you know, cuts of red meat that they prioritized. And I didn't have any problems with it. I think that you can still stay well around 10% saturated fat with just having leaner cuts of meat. You don't have to lather everything in tallow and butter. No one is saying that. I mean, it's specifically written in the guidelines that you can do low-fat dairy. You can do low-fat cheese. You don't even have to have it, all right? Just get the other macronutrients elsewhere. So it's not like, do this. This is what we're all saying is healthy. It is just a foundation of what you need. I fully support that. I thought that there was no problem with that. And on fats, they've got olive oil as the best fat that you could have right now. They took out all of the other oils. Seed oils aren't even mentioned in there. It's fantastic. And that's, you know, when I mentioned taking a little bit from every diet, like, that's Mediterranean diet. Right. Mm-hmm. A ton of olive oil. What does that do for endothelial health, cardiovascular risk? Up that, cook with that, drizzle that on your vegetables. It doesn't even matter. But prioritizing that, I love to see. I love to see. But there's so much nuance to it, and it's just guidelines.
Yeah. I think for so long, fat was so demonized for so long. You know, like, we have been grown up in a world where it's like, I think it's throwing people off to say, like, wait, whole milk, steak, butter, tallow. And you're like, whoa, because, you know, we lived through the whole like 80s and 90s where everything is like low fat, cut your fat. You're going to clog your arteries. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to have high cholesterol. Like, these are all the things that were burned into us. And so that is a flip for a lot of people where it's like, wait, so you're saying that like fat is okay. Fat can be good if you do it in healthy amounts and healthy kinds of fat. It's like a whole different
world. What's also important for people to know is that fat really doesn't necessarily make you fat. Okay. Even saturated fat doesn't. Fat is actually really good for you and you need it. And we had this whole role reversal, like eliminating fat because, like Amy said, of really everybody was worried about cholesterol, but that's a whole nuanced conversation too. And that's a whole big fat lie too. Speaking of fat.
Yeah.
So people are worried about fat because of cholesterol, but that's a whole other, we want to actually have a whole conversation about that one day. But and I'm sorry, y'all, my voice, this is like almost a week. This is actually better than it's been, but you know, it's just so interesting to see. And the people who are, if they're worried about the butter and the whole, and the oils and stuff, I'm like, they don't even realize how much everything you eat out at a restaurant is already smothered in seed oils and stuff anyway. So you have no idea what you're getting. Yeah. And then to know that you're getting like whole, you know, wholesome butter or tallow or olive oil, it's just so much better for you than the fake crap and the chemically, you know, industrial produced stuff that your body isn't meant to process anyway.
That's right. That's right. And I think too, what we want people to understand, for those of you who are still like, what were the changes? Here's kind of a brief overview. It went, the old pyramid, which I think has been around since we were in school. I think this is what we were trained on, which is a heavy base of grains. That's, and it said to use fat sparingly. It was less focused on protein quality and it was calories focused. Whereas the updated guidance says, grains should be greatly reduced and quality should be emphasized. So like having brown rice, those quinoa, those kinds of grains are good. Healthy fats are encouraged. Protein quality and variety matter. And nutrient density and balance is more important than just straight calories. Because we all know, guys, what happened in the low-fat craze? People went to processed food. Processed food is poison. And that's where we're just trying to, like Dr. Ben said, let's get back to eating whole, real foods, cooking from home, as Kristen mentioned, so you can control what oils and fats you are using in your food to keep it as healthy as possible. And I think what I was so happy to see is that they did bring those healthy fats back, and they didn't really demonize anything other than to just shift focus off of grains onto real vegetables, fruits, and proteins. And that, we know, is true.
I love that you mentioned the processed foods too, because that was also something that was a little misunderstood when we were talking about fats before this, this food pyramid. Most people were getting these bad fats, right? Potentially harmful fats from the ultra processed foods. It wasn't even because people were overeating a bunch of nutrient dense, fatty cuts of meat. It was also, there's different kinds of saturated fat. So it's not just saturated fat. There's palmitic acid, there's stearic acid. They're differentiated in the body. We were over consuming the ultra processed food, and this food pyramid moved away from that, which is the most important part. It's saying, do not put, you know, all of your fat intake into that ultra processed category, because there too, you have a ton of trans fats, and that's a whole different conversation. We're just talking about saturated fats. There's some benefit to it in the body. Don't overconsume it, of course. Don't make it a large percentage of your diet by any means. But anyone who's just eating normally and kind of following this food period and just having whole foods, they're not going to have to worry about having too much saturated fat in their diet. It's just not the reality of it. Yeah. And you also mentioned the grains too, moving away from the grains. We're talking more about fat and protein now. That's great. If we put our mindset to having more fat and protein, we're going to have way, way less grain. And that grain, again, was ultra processed, right. Poor agricultural practices, herbicides, pesticides, GMO. I mean, that's where you got a lot of that was in your grains.
That's right.
We're saying less of that. We didn't eliminate it entirely, but less of it, right? Less it doesn't look like the My Plate where, basically 50% of it has to be grains anymore. Have it. We've changed kind of what grains to focus on, but have less of it. If you think protein forward and that's where our focus is, if we're building a plate,
yeah,
promise you, you're going to be full and satiety is going to hit way quicker. You're not even going to want those grains. You're going to be way better nourished that way.
Isn't it true? Like I was eating a steak with my husband the other night because we are red meat lovers. We do like to have it at least once a week, but we were eating a delicious steak cooked at home on our grill. And I was like, you know what's crazy? I don't think I could overeat this steak. Like if I start with my steak and like maybe some greens, it's hard to even finish the plate. Because like you said, you get satisfied so quickly that you don't find yourself, I find it hard to actually overeat that. Maybe some people are different, but I think there is something about starting with your proteins and your greens, your lean proteins, your greens. And when you're started there, like it fills you up so much faster. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I were going to go eat popcorn or chips or whatever, I would still be hungry. It would not be satisfying. Right.
And so that's what you overeat.
Right. So you just start with the good stuff and you'll find you get full much quicker. It's more satisfying and you're not eating the garbage,
And that's represented in the pyramid. I thought that was represented very well. Agreed. I was happy with that.
Agreed. Okay, let's talk about the vaccine program. I know this is going to just set some of those people who were ill-informed just on fire, you know, because they are so convinced that vaccines have saved humanity. And that, and listen, guys, the truth is there is such cognitive dissonance around this subject. We acknowledge it. Because why? Because all of us, our generation backwards to our parents' generation, was taught, trust your doctor. Our doctors told us that it got rid of polio. Our doctors told us that we put measles at, basically kicked measles out of America. And when you're told these things and you love your child so much, you just want to protect your kid from getting needless viruses, right? That has been kind of the worldview of vaccine for this last few decades. And so to come in and go, oh, what if we told you that some of these diseases were on the decline before the vaccine ever showed up? Polio being one of them. You know, what if we told you that all of these diseases that once killed children or could kill children or had more likelihood of killing children now have a very high survivor rate, high survivor rate, because we have good nutrition, good water available, good water, and good medical care available to treat these kinds of diseases, even tetanus, which used to scare everybody to death, right? And so now that we're in this new age of new information, we recognize it is hard for some parents and people to accept that maybe what many of us believed and practiced and actually even did to our children could have come with greater risk than we ever knew. We understand that's hard, but it's not going to stop us from talking about it. It's not going to stop the truth from being true. And by the way, whether you change your mind on this or not, is kind of irrelevant to the fact that it still makes it true and it still has an impact should you not get informed on what is changing. And people mm-hmm. have certainly demonized RFK Jr. for this, but the reality is, I don't think he ever wanted to even be in this fight. He got into this fight for the same reason Kristen, Amy, and I did, which is when you know better, you do better. And if you see a train coming, and someone maybe is stuck on the tracks, you just want to help them have the choice to get off the tracks. That's it. That's mm-hmm. all it is. And so so I think our audience is very aware of our opinions, but really, Dr. Ben, we'd like to hear from you. When we went from, there were 17 vaccines, that's not total shots, 17 different diseases that children were being recommended to be vaccinated against, and then they moved it down to 11. But we want to be clear, in that 17 was over 72 different shots for your child to get what they considered full vaccinations. So it went from 17 to 11, which is not 11 shots, but 11 different vaccinations for a very specific disease. And what they have taken off was the flu vaccine. No shock there, because I think a lot of people know that's garbage, in my opinion. RSV, rotavirus, Hep A, Hep B, meningococcal disease, and COVID-19. Okay, what's your take on this, Dr. Ben?
I also view this as a win, mostly for medical freedom and giving parents the right to be able to choose what they do for their child. There are still routine vaccinations available. The schedule is just changing. The priority of what needs to be done, we're finally having that conversation a little differently. That should be a huge win. At least talk about that, understand it, not make things, you either get this or you can't participate in life. It's a very, very terrible precedent to set. And no medicine, vaccines included, should have that dogmatic kind of power. So I was very happy about that. That freedom is fantastic. We're starting to talk about it differently. More importantly than anything, you can still get them. Doctors will hopefully discuss them differently, but based on individual risk assessment, right? So when we take off like flu and COVID and Hep B and meningococcal, like you're within your right, if that's your belief system, to go get those. But individual risk assessment for these, I mean, that came up a lot with COVID, is how necessary is this? Mm-hmm. What is your risk assessment? Why are kids down here who have a 0.1% chance of having anything happening? Why are we pushing it so heavily on them? Right now, you go to the other spectrum of that population, the geriatric or seniors. They have multiple comorbidities on multiple medications. This might be a little bit more necessary for them. Have that conversation, but make it a dialogue. That's the win here. That's the win here. Yes. It's not flipping everyone's health world upside down. It's just opening a door, because the science is not perfect. Perfect is a very low standard. You don't want that. Otherwise, science stops. This isn't a perfect science. So that's we're right. still learning about this. A lot of new data comes out. You can't deny vaccine injury. This happens. So it should not be pushed as it once was. So I'm personally really liking these changes.
I also want to point out that, they also said that Americans will no longer be penalized for denying vaccinations, like the doctors will no longer be like financially punished. But honestly, I'm like, were they actually punished or were they just incentivized? I feel like, I don't think they were punished. I think they're just incentivized. And the punishment is they don't get the money from pharma when you choose not to vaccinate. But I feel like this is heading in maybe a better direction, but I don't know if it's going to be enough yet to change, because I mean, I get questions all the time, people reaching out, who do you go to? Because we just got kicked out of our pediatrician's office because we've decided not to vaccinate, which is just so ridiculous. It goes against everything you've ever learned about what a doctor should be doing. A doctor should be listening to you and working on the care with you, you know, informing you, but you ultimately get to make that decision, not the doctor. But it's just absolutely ridiculous. But we're moving in the right direction, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, it's like you're both saying, it's medical freedom. And I do think there is this big portion of the population that just thinks that it's this like approach of, well, everyone should have to do certain things so that the whole community stays safe. In theory, that sounds great, right? Let's all just sacrifice a little for the whole, but that's not how it actually works. As long as there is a risk to the individual, you cannot ask an individual to throw themselves in the fire so that you stay warm. That's not how it works. And it'd be great if it did, but it doesn't. So we have to also educate people to help them understand getting, you know, what they call herd immunity from vaccination comes with risks for certain people. And as Ben kind of alluded to, we don't even understand all the risks just yet. We have hunches. There's some science pointing to some very strong markers. We obviously saw that the study that was coming out of Henry Ford, which became very controversial, but it showed that the unvaccinated kids were far healthier. I mean, it wasn't even like a smidge, far healthier than the vaccinated children. When you have indications such as these, we have to stop saying that vaccination is the only way to achieve herd immunity. I mean, back when I was little, when you got the chicken pox, you got thrown into a playroom with the other kids with chicken pox to go ahead and get it all the same. That was our mom's way of getting herd immunity. You know, and that immunity, we do know that we learned this with COVID. If you were to get COVID on your own without the vaccine, people tended to have stronger antibodies afterwards without risk. Mm-hmm. And we got to get back to that conversation and that kind of science without saying there's one way that we're going to protect the community. Well, that one way has not made us all healthier. America is sicker than it's ever been for a multitude of reasons. And I think what's great about this administration, they're finally digging down to get to the facts. And that's what we need, you know?
I think the gateway
I know also.
I was just saying the gateway is the hepatitis B vaccine. I feel like if you can just wrap your mind, like everybody should be on board with making that one a choice, because number one, they test the mom for hepatitis B when she's pregnant. So we already know if mom is negative or positive. If she's negative, there's no risk to the baby. However, it's the first day of life they're sticking a baby with hepatitis B, which is a disease that you can only get from dirty needles or sex. So really, if you just wrap your mind around that one for a second, it's like, okay, I know that most all parents can get on board with some choice on that one. So start there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, continue on. You're looking at each one, the risk and benefit.
And then add that the studies that they use as evidence to back it up.
Right. It's like 5 days.
147 healthy kids, 147 healthy kids, and they only studied it for 5 days. That's one of them. The other brand or the other company, it was 4 days. That's how long they studied this vaccine for safety. Okay.
Yeah. 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 I've been.
We can talk about this. No good science.
I mean, but here's what's wild. And this is what I encourage anyone, if you are just now learning about the vaccine program and that there's some serious issues there. There's some great books. We could list the ones out that have really made an impact on us. I know Turtles All the Way Down was a big one. But also just the one that was by Humphreys, you guys, the one that
Dissolving Illusions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dissolving Illusions, yeah. Which is just kind of shows that's the history of it. Those two for me were just like, I mean, it was like, I can't believe there's not more conversation around this. I can't believe we've passed this along with these very obvious truths in that history, right? And so I think once you see that, you can't unsee it. And I've never known anyone to look at the vaccine program and go, oh, no, I'm still all in. Never. Right. Not one person.
Right.
You know, because it's just overwhelmingly obvious that we have a problem here, and it's not all backed in science, that's for sure. And then there were
like
some,
I always say, do not hand your biology away to anybody else.
Amen.
Like for those who are incredibly pro full vaccine schedule, I would just hope that these individuals are not saying, well, I did all I can do for my immune system, right? I followed the guidelines, I'm fully vaccinated, I'm good to go. That's where I mean, again, just a bias, and I'm kind of a purist in this way, but you've just given your autonomy away. You've said some outside factor has influenced my immune system, and now I'm trusting that. And usually your lifestyle follows. So yeah. I would hope that we consider our immune system not perfect until we make it perfect. And you have to work for a healthy immune system. It isn't given to you in shots when you're a baby.
Right. Exactly. And I do think, too, it really does go back to the whole reason we exist, which is to give information out. But we did a whole episode with Dr. Ben, you guys. If you've not listened to our flu vaccine episode, you've got to go back and listen to that. Because guess what we're seeing, Ben, in the last, because obviously the flu this season is bad, right? That's what
And
I'm sure you're seeing it in your practice. We're hearing about that in the news. But here's what's wild. The number of people who have said or posted, man, this was the worst flu I've ever had. I can't imagine how much worse it would have been had I not gotten my flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to jump through a screen.
So exactly what I'm saying. It's exactly what I'm saying.
I'm like, how do they know? How do you know? How do you know?
What? You don't like, it's not even occurred to them that maybe it's worse.
It could be worse. Yeah.
Well, I mean, see, that's where it's two totally different worlds. Yes. Because we see that as, well, that shot really worked well for you, huh? Like, yeah. Really glad you got that. Or on the flip side, they're like, God, I'm so glad I got it because I feel like I'm going to die, but maybe I would have died had I not gotten it. I mean,
I know.
Listen,
do you know what Paul said to me the other day, y'all? And I mean, listen, Dr. Ben, we've been doing this podcast since 2021. And in 2020, all three of us knew real fast we weren't getting that COVID vaccine. Okay. And we probably knew it better than our husbands. Like we were down the rabbit holes. Geert Vandenbosch was one who I heard early on that I was like, I ain't touching that thing. Okay. Like I was listening to real scientists. My husband says to me last week, you know, when I had COVID, and he got it in August of 2020, he said, when I had, it was 21. He was, when I had COVID, I had this thought of, man, I wish I'd gotten the vaccine. And y'all, we already had a podcast in 21. I was like, boy, what did you say? He said, Holly, I sincerely remember feeling so bad that I thought, I wish I'd gotten that shot. Mm-hmm. I was like, I won't even repeat what I said on here because, I mean, it wasn't mean to him, but it was terrible.
Boys are, no offense, Dr. Ben, but men have a hard time being sick. I'm going to tell you right now, Chad has a virus right now. It is not flu. It's not COVID because he actually tried to go to the doctor and I guess they did the swab and he tested negative for all these things. But this thing is absolutely brutal. It's been... Gosh, how long has it been? Like over at least a week.
Almost a week, probably.
Throbbing headache, fever, chills, just like, you know, and I'm trying to do everything I can for him. But I mean, he's like, he would, at this point, he would do anything. And I'm saying anything. I'm saying, he'll be like, stick a needle in my arm. I don't care what's in it. Just make it better. Like, this is to the point where he's at. And so I'm trying to like, be like, no, we're just going to put the red light. We're going to sauna. We're going to, you know. And I mean, I think that all these things are supporting his body, but sometimes, like, not that the vaccine would have helped, obviously, but I'm just saying, guys, they just want it, I'm like, you will get through this. You will get through this.
Oh yeah, we do. We just try to grit and bear and power through, and we're thankful we have you all.
I will tell y'all this. I actually heard one of my friends say this the other day. She's on the radio in our town. And she said she was having a conversation with somebody the other day. And this is a great perspective of men versus women. And this is just, of course, stereotype. This is not every man, every woman, but how, you know, our guys are tough, strong. They can handle all kinds of stuff, but they get really sick. It is like the world is ending. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to, I love it. Love you, Mitch. But the thing is, what they said is women, think about what women, this girl said here, it's kind of to like put it in perspective. Women, our hormones, this will segue into our next subject. We go through phases. We don't ever feel normal. There is like, think about it, every day, we don't know what we're going to feel. That's okay. True. Every week, we don't know what we feel. So we are always changing. Mm-hmm. Guys are generally like, this is how I feel. Yeah. They've got testosterone. That's it. We got it.
It's so true. And it's one dip off the baseline.
They have a baseline and it may fluctuate just a little bit.
Gosh.
But then think about it. You throw in the flu, you're like, oh, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Like,
that makes perfect sense.
Women, we are used to feeling like, okay, well, I feel like ass today. Or, oh, well, like, I can't even move today. I'm looking at everything I got to do, and I don't want to do shit. Or I'm like, I feel like super mom. I'm like, let's go do everything. You know, like, so you never know how you're going to feel. Yeah. So it is like, it does make sense. I'm like, okay, well, I get that, you know.
I'm living this.
And Amy, listen. It is bad. And I'm going to confession time. I am real judgy about it sometimes. Do y'all find that? Like, I'm like, birth through traumatic experiences and like, seriously, dude, get it together.
I'm trying to be loving and positive.
Yes.
No, listen, I come from the ER. I'm a damn ER nurse. I'm like, no, unless it is deformed or bleeding profusely, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're fine. I mean, and this is not just husband, it's like kids too. Like, they know. I'm like, so it is, it's hard.
Yeah.
That is so true because he is off his baseline and he has a,
right.
He feels how he feels. It's a like clockwork routine. Yeah. He knows exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and then now he's
completely in good shape and takes care of himself too. So he's used to feeling probably great.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, but yes. So let me just ask you, Dr. Ben, because I know you see men and women. Mm-hmm. Who are the better patients?
I played the fifth.
Outliers. I'm sure there's outliers.
I see mostly women. That is the higher percentage of patient I see. And I think that there's a message in that. But men handle their health very differently, and we're moving that. Our clinic is actually taking, we're being very proactive to, over the next year, hopefully, really hone in and master men's health, men's sexual health, portion of our clinic, because it does need to be talked about. We also need care, and we need to care about our healthcare very differently. So I'm not going to deny anything you all just said. because there's a ton of truth to it. And it is like an ongoing joke now and on like social media. I see it all the time, but it's, you know, you the guy gets knocked down with the flu and they turn into a baby again. A baby. They're looking for mom to help heal them. But women have just been doing this battle on and off for a long time. So they are much more resilient and just disciplined with it. And you know what? It's going to be a new day tomorrow. So it's kind of a programming almost.
I love this. Yeah. I love this conversation. Thank you for validating what we have experienced in real life. This is, again, completing the science right here. Okay. So to segue in as we wrap up today, as you guys know, if you've been following us, Dr. Ben has been helping us with our hormone health. With all that's also come out in the news in the last year, thank God, is the more conversation around women's hormones and that some of the bioidentical hormones were demonized when perhaps they should not have been, that there was more benefit than and less risk than we were originally told 20 years ago. But it does seem that science around women's health has always kind of lagged behind. It's just weird, you know? And so we're grateful for the progress that's being made. And we're grateful for Dr. Ben, who is a root cause doctor who was looking at all the things with our hormones. And I think I'm the last one that has not had my next 1v1 with Dr. Ben. That's because my last test is coming in on some of my minerals, looking at some of the way my body is absorbing what I'm eating. So, but Dr. Ben, as we are going through this with you, we give you full permission to use us as examples. But as you're helping us out here, what are you seeing so far? We need some help or what?
You guys are great. You guys are great. You guys are lights for everyone who's listening. That's for sure. No, you all are very healthy. You manage it differently based on where you are. Leading up to perimenopause, early perimenopause, middle of perimenopause, and then actually menopausal, it's all very different stages, and you have to track it pretty differently. But generally, you know, how long is this going to last? Where am I at? That's usually the big question. Is it starting for me? How do I know if it's starting? Once periods start looking a little differently, that's probably when you can start considering that. And usually, it's not, again, a perfect science, but generally, 3 months go by, didn't have a period, maybe had it on that third month, a couple normal periods, another 3 months go by, a fourth month, and trickle in another period. Like, this is the telltale sign that probably within a few years, we're going to be in the heat of perimenopause. That's usually what it means. That can last, that can last a long time. I mean, it can be 6 to 10 years. Some people get through it super quick, but generally that's what you're looking at. So if you're in those early stages, it is just checking baseline levels. That's usually when a lot of symptoms will also corroborate the laboratory findings that I'm looking at with you all. So as estrogen, you know, progesterone usually go down first, estrogen starts kind of looking a little wonky. And that's when you have, you know, night sweats. You might notice mood changes, maybe dryness, vaginal, eyes, mouth, things like that. That can look a little wonky for a while. But what generally happens is at some point you've kind of hit that full decline. Estrogen, progesterone, they're both sitting down there at the bottom. Now that's when like more meaningful change and the work that I'm going to do with you all, you guys will feel a huge difference with that because as they stabilize, that's kind of a new normal. And honestly, a lot of those perimenopause symptoms fall off even when estrogen and progesterone stabilize and they're not moving anymore because the movement is what makes you feel weird. Mm-hmm. But when they're stable, good stuff. And then, you know, we're going to look at it's always the lowest effective dose for hormone therapy. We like bioidentical hormones. It's really whatever resonates with the patient, right? There's kind of different categories of how a patient might want to work with us. Some people are like, I don't want to do anything. Let me get through this. And that's what a lot of our moms did anyway. Then you kind of have that other category, which I think you all fall into and you kind of bleed over into that third. But you're like, what naturally can I do? How can I support my body's natural rhythm, natural production, maybe natural symptom management? Beautiful. That's foundational work. I think everyone should do that. That's usually what they want when they're coming to us anyway. That third category would be bioidentical hormones. Are we going to actually use any hormone replacement therapy to help alleviate these symptoms and give your body kind of another oomph? I like to combine category one, category two, or category two, category three. That's usually what makes people feel the best. And that's what we're working on with you all. Hormones look really good. I think, Amy, your hormones actually looked like pretty good. We're not even going to focus on them yet until we do some of more of the gut work. Mm-hmm. But Kristen, we're going to jump into some hormone therapy with you.
Yep.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, no.
I already started a little bit, and I was already doing bioidentical, like just over the counter, progesterone. And then I just thought about this. Have you ever used wild yam for people?
Oh yeah.
Like, is that, have you had success with that?
So with the, like, cause that is a question that we'll field a lot is, maybe there's an aversion to using hormone replacement therapy for whatever reason. It really is whatever aligns with you, but with the herbal and the supplementary relief you're looking for, it's not a one-to-one at all. So I try to make sure that they know that, like the hormone replacement therapy, especially if you're using bioidentical, we're actually putting the hormone back into the system. Mm-hmm. There's not any analog in nature that mimics that. You're not really going to, you know, use something like wild yam or like phytoestrogens to try to increase your estrogen capacity. It doesn't really work that way. It may help symptom management. And I have a lot of folks who do say, oh, you know what? I was using X supplement and I did notice my hot flashes went away. Everyone start using this, you know, some phytoestrogen tea or something. And it works well for some people, but it doesn't raise the actual amount of estrogen in your body. So that does need to be understood is when we're using, herbal or botanical medicines or supplementary medicines, you're not getting the same effect as HRT. HRT is a very direct effect. You might get indirect symptom relief from what perimenopause or menopause is bringing, but it's totally different.
I think that's
me, I was going to say, like, you started me on DHEA versus hormone replacement, because if you can explain, or the way I look at it is DHEA is kind of like what helps your body. We have it naturally and it helps your body make the hormones, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you start there, it's kind of like a downstream, because I think I was low in like my testosterone and my DHEA. So since I was low in the DHEA, we're starting there first to let it kind of cascade down and see what I can do naturally, right?
That's exactly right. And for you all, for women, you all make testosterone differently than men. I mean, a lot of ours comes from testes. You all make it a little bit in the ovaries, a little bit from the adrenal glands coming from that byproduct of DHEA. You also make it in the periphery from androstenedione. So you have multiple ways of getting testosterone. Mm-hmm. So for you, Amy, if we see that testosterone was kind of borderline low, DHEA looked a little suppressed, I'm looking at adrenal glands. If I can make Amy's adrenal glands a little bit healthier, support them, produce a little bit more DHEA, have some available in the bloodstream, then in theory, under a healthy system, which you are, you should be able to produce enough testosterone to have a noticeable difference just from that alone. Okay. It doesn't work quite as well for men too, or quite as well for men because we require more. But you know, there's with DHEA, I have a women's dose and a men's dose because men need a whole lot more. Women just need a whole lot less because you're making testosterone in other areas of your body that men aren't.
Can you also touch on that? That point about stress and like cortisol, because when you are, you know, big thing with women, a lot of us is we're probably in this phase of like, we've been stressed our whole damn life. Mm-hmm. So everybody hates it. You talk about like adrenal fatigue. I know that's overplayed and all this stuff, but when your body is constantly producing all of those, that's where that stops it from producing the sex hormones, right? Mm-hmm. So when you say you want to support the adrenals, that's why it is so important. Like when we keep saying, try to reduce stress, I know it's easier said than done, but if you can try to reduce that and support your adrenals, right? Then maybe your body will actually start doing what it's supposed to do anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's my preferred method. Bring that stress down and see, like, you don't know how good you could feel. We don't know how much hormone we could be producing right now, unless we're pretty sure that this is close to menopause, maybe postmenopausal. We don't know how good we could feel for how much longer. But stress plays a huge part in that, a huge part in that. And testosterone specifically, just talking about it, Amy, that moves independently from menopause or menopausal changes in women. It can go down way early than before you enter perimenopause. And it can also stay pretty elevated even when you're entering menopause and estrogen and progesterone are changing. It moves independently. So for you, noting estrogen, progesterone actually look stable right now. It looks good. It's good levels. We don't think it's first priority. But based on some of the symptoms you brought me, what is a little bit more testosterone going to do for you? You need it. Women do need it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you say like adrenal stress, you know, it's like there are a lot of different ways to be stressed or that your adrenals can be stressed. Like it's not necessarily because I don't consider myself over here just like type A stress ball all the time, flipping out and buzzing around like a crazy person. I feel like I don't feel stressed. You know, I don't live in that environment in my body. So, but my adrenals are technically stressed. So I guess it manifests in many more ways than just feeling like, I guess when most people hear stress, you think of like, you're a big ball of anxiety.
No, there's stress physiology too. And that's also it's a two-way street, but it isn't always, you know, I'm not stressed between my ears. My body must be in good condition. No, there's a ton of different stress burden and environmental load and toxins that can create a chemical stress in the body, which is totally separate. Like for you, for example, we're going to work on gut health. And I think that's probably a stressor for you. It's a stressor for a lot of people. If we can restore gut health, what's body going to function like? Probably a whole lot less. It's going to shift the priority chemically in the body from, well, we got to treat this gut over here first. So hormones are kind of on the back burner right now. Adrenal glands, you don't have to do too much. We have a red alert over here that we have to work on. The body works in that way. You know, it's not all just, it's balance. It's balance. So too much effort here, too little effort here. And everyone has their own kind of what I call like a stress rain bucket in a way. And it's mostly genetic, you know, like how resilient are you to stress in life, not just like, oh my gosh, my to-do list is so big, but like, let's say I get a cold. Let's say I have a lot of unhealthy food. Let's say I got a bunch of pesticides or, you know, chemicals from the environment. You know, my stress rain bucket is probably a thimble. It's tiny. I know very well when I have too much of something and I need R&R and a good detox. Other people can go a long time and they're just, you know, not exercising, eating Doritos, staying up till 3 a.m. And they won't have a symptom until they do. And that rain bucket starts spilling over. But that's different for everyone. That's genetic differences. So looking at stress as a buzzword is always step one. Get any stressors down, mental, emotional, physical, chemical, whatever it is. Bring those down. Then you'll see really what your body's potential is.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we want our audience to understand is our goal is to live optimally. So at whatever age we're at, we want to live optimally and then we want to tell you how to do it too. And I do feel that, and Dr. Ben, you can vouch for us on this. When you first met with us, you were like, you girls are actually really healthy. like we have done the work for years to take care of the vessels that we have, right? And so I think what I want our audience to know is it's not too late and that it's like day one can be right now, that if you really want to feel your best and live and age well, because what's the point of living to 90 if by 65 you can hardly move, right? Mm-hmm. There's like, we want to live and age well, and we want to bring our audience on the journey and let them learn from our own experiences and from what we're learning so that they can do the same thing. Because, again, we look at people I saw a 75-year-old man the other day on social media that said he'd worked out his whole life. Y'all, he looked insane. And I was just thinking, man, I hope I'm like that when I'm 75. You know, shirt off, ripped. And it was shocking when he said he was 75. Yeah. But again, I can show you a 75-year-old man who can hardly walk. Mm-hmm. It is lifestyle choices.
It is a choice.
It is. And it's also like having somebody along with you, like, you know, having Dr. Ben just to, because, you know, I mean, I think everybody listening to this, you probably have like supplement fatigue. You have bought everything under the sun for yourself because you saw something like, oh, that's my symptom. I'm going to try that. That's my symptom. I'm going to try that. You have a cabinet full of half-used bottles.
Amy's talking about herself right now.
No, Kristen actually gave me, that was one of my Christmas presents. Do you remember that? Like back in like 2012, it was like a bucket and it said, Jesus, take the wheel. And it had holy basil,
ashwagandha.
I'm in it, but I'm saying, take the guesswork out. You will feel so much better when you know exactly what you need to take. And somebody is monitoring that for you and kind of walking you through, checking in to see how you're feeling. And then you can just like release all that stress of trying to figure it out on your own and trying to just like supplement yourself to death. And nothing ever follows through.
And you don't have to succumb to every Instagram ad or they're talking about things that are like, oh, this completely changed. I mean, of course it's great. Like some of the stuff is good, but it is nice. Like as educated and informed as we all are, it is so refreshing to have somebody to just ask questions and you tell me what to do. I'm like, here, just take me and guide me. You know, like Amy said before, I'm like, I'm a limp dish rag. Just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do because I need somebody to tell me what to do for once. You know,
I'm happy you all are bringing that up. And that is, I want to be that person for you all. I think experience helps with that. But I have a lot of folks who come in and they bring their bag of supplements in with them on their first visit. First time I meet them, they bring a little gift bag for me. And we go over 30 supplements. And it's like, well, what do I need to do? Which ones are important? Here's what I'm using. Is it a good brand? And I'm like, what's our relationship with these supplements right now? Let's talk about this. Let's get into some therapy. All right. Because it's unlikely. I mean, I might've said it on the podcast before, but you can go to Walgreens and rack up a $500 bill with 100 supplements. Everything says it's good for you. And you got everyone on social media now trying to promote a product.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I love that we're moving to supplements and not pharmacy, but there's a gray area here and how much of it is business, how much of it is useful for you. Everyone is very individual. So I love being able to kind of free someone from this, this idea that like my health is in this pill. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be.
Right. Right.
And as much as we're against pharma, you know, a lot, we talk about the, you know, some of the traditional doctors in pharma and just throwing a prescription at it. There's a lot of functional meds that will do the same thing. And you can't supplement yourself out of an unhealthy terrain or anything like that. Like this is where it's so good to do more of a step-by-step process, having an expert who knows what he's doing and say, and I do love that, you know, I already said, hey, I'm taking this. You're like, do that. You don't have to add anything else. Or, you know, they are conservative with what they're recommending. It's not just throwing the kitchen sink at it. It is like a systematic approach and it's just smart and methodical and logical. And he listens. I love it. I mean, I love that like I can message y'all anytime and I'm going to get a message that day. I mean, within hours sometimes, you know, or within minutes. Sometimes within minutes.
Yeah, it's back to having that partner and that coach and that guide. And it's what I think, Ben, you said this the first time we ever interviewed you. You were like, a good doctor is a good listener and is kind of a teacher and just kind of helps you. And I think you're kind of our private investigator as well, where you're like digging through the data to find the root causes and then what we need to do. And what I love, too, about you and Cammy and Benton Integrative is that you guys are not trying to run every test under the sun, if it's not necessarily. You're not trying to give us every supplement under the sun, if it's not necessary. It's really basic, you know, in terms of like trying to be as natural as possible and to be as affordable as possible. Because I think that is the big pushback to integrative medicine. And I wish people would understand what you're spending in your insurance every month and not getting back. And what you could redirect those funds into integrative medicine, like with Benton Integrative and Dr. Ben, and you could invest the money there and get better results, longer appointments, more information, and honestly, less pharmaceuticals. listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we are excited to share an answer we found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the podcast Substack for more information.
You know, and to me, that's just a win all the way around. And so if you want to find Dr. Ben, bentonintegrative.com. You can find him on all our social media channels. He can do telemedicine throughout all 50 U.S. states. Mm-hmm. So you can connect with him. And I know, Dr. Ben, if there's someone you can't help, I know you'd be the kind of said, this is what I'm able to do. And then here's where you can look for help, maybe, you know, where you are. Is that correct?
I will network in that area and like really reach out, try to find a practice that aligns wherever they are. I'm a straight shooter.
Perfect. Oh, we know. And we're so thankful for that. All right. So we're going to have another episode with Dr. Ben next month, and we're probably going to talk even more about the changes we're making, what we're learning from our appointments, because again, we just know there's so many of you who are lost in the world of not knowing what to do. And maybe if you saw our reel this last week, we talked about our Dutch test, because that is what Dr. Ben is using to get a deeper look at our actual hormone function. So again, we're going to keep sharing this with you. Stay tuned. And then obviously reach out to Dr. Ben. If this is what you're looking for, reach out to him in this practice. We promise you, you will not be disappointed. They lead with love, and it is obvious, and we know their desire is to really help you. So Dr. Ben, thank you for being on again. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you all so much. It's always a pleasure. I appreciate it. I hope it's helpful. And I can't wait to talk again.
We'll see you next month for sure. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye, you guys.
Bye.